News was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio
is about to commence.
Good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning.
Good morning.
It is 7:06 in the morning here on February the 11th, 2015. Our phone lines here are 605-4567, and we are streaming live at KCNR1460.com. Oh, Angel's already in here with
us. Good morning, Angel.
Good morning, Angel. And good morning, Bad Bob. How you doing, buddy?
And good morning, doing okie-doke.
How's the beard coming along there?
It's itchy. It's in that itchy phase.
You know what? It's grayer. It's grayer than last time.
Well, thank you very much.
Did you notice that?
I believe that's called aging.
I think you should use that face. You know that gray
Grecian formula.
What is that? That goes from touch of gray or touch of dark or whatever it's called. You know, you can just kind of like brush it through that beard of yours.
Yeah.
See, I wouldn't do that. And here's the reason I wouldn't do it. Because I get my hair cut all the time down at Cypress Square Barbershop. So I'm thinking if I'm start coloring my hair, really, this is one of the things. And then DC or Tim, they're cutting my hair and they go, oh, so something happened to your hair here? I mean. And then it becomes known throughout the known
Leave
world.
Leave people alone and let them do what they want to do.
Do what they want to do.
You know, as a woman, and I'm sure many women listening, we've changed our hair, colors, and all kinds of, things that we do to just because. So I just say it's do what you want to do.
Yeah, and the only thing you
you're going to
your
live
hair
your life by thinking that somebody's going to look at your hair and whisper, oh, someone dyes your hair. Big deal.
That's not true because we do that. We do that. We look at people. We know and we go, look, he's dyeing his hair.
So what?
Well, because you say, oh, do you think people do that? Well, yes, they do.
So what?
And by the way, it's one thing, okay, hair and that kind of stuff. But when you start seeing major work on people like Uma Thurman.
Oh, you saw Uma.
Uma Thurman, who I think is one of the most beautiful women in the world. They have a photo of her now. And
how about Renee Zellweger?
And Renee Zellweger,
Their
appearance has changed.
This starts to get like this weird
thing.
Well, first of all, let's talk about the weather because I know people are tuning in. We have so much to talk about this morning. Oh my gosh, there's hot spots everywhere. But anyway, it's 45 degrees in the downtown studios. Good morning again on this Wednesday. I'm sure Bob is going to look for our camel. Never mind. Sunny with temperatures around 74 today. Mostly clear tonight with temperatures around 46. Thursday's going to be around 77. Can you believe that we got to rain? Now, this was going to be beautiful. Lots of blooms, I'm sure, are going to be happening.
You know what?
Thursday night, mostly clear with temperatures around 47. Friday is 76.
I want winter. I want at least one day of winter. Where's one day of winter?
Well, and then Sunday, Washington's birthday, would go back down around 70. What about Boston?
It's in Boston. I mean, they've got record snowstorms back there. They're having to get emergency help. Hey, the weather's always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, where our customers are warm friends. Well, they are warm friends. We're going to have to start. Our customers are cool, locally owned and operated. And, of course, give them a call, 365-3793, senior and veterans discounts.
Hey,
now, let me get two real quick announcements here for veterans. May I?
Yes.
You're invited a tribute to veterans at Parsons Junior High. That's going to be Thursday, February 19th at 8:45 a.m., and it's a special program for veterans there. Afterwards, veterans are invited for a light brunch in your honor, and then the Veterans Advocate of the Year Awards Banquet Saturday, February 28th, with a social hour at starting at 5 p.m., a dinner and program at 6 p.m., and this is going to be the Veterans Advocate of the Year for just the individual and the unit. Okay. Or in an organization.
While we're doing the weather, and that's great because we're going to be there at the...
we're going to be there for the...
The 28th, right. February 28th. Hey, Bob, while you've got the computer pulled up there, we were talking about the weather. Mm. What did we find out how much rainfall we had with those last two or three days of major rain?
Well, it depends on where you look, but I can look up the climatological data while you continue to
okay,
talk.
Okay, that sounds
well,
great.
One of the
Thank
things
you.
That we saw that we had said, I think, yesterday is the lake had gone up, and the lake's 95 feet from the top now. I mean, it's still better than it was last year, but still not good. And I'm still not, you know, in the snowpack, which had been only 20% of what it was supposed to be. So I'm not sure what's happening with that. Okay.
Well, on the front page today, of course, we have, you know, Rob Paletti, who will be in, Chief will be in with us this morning at 8 o'clock. So I'm sure he's going to be, well, not really giving away everything that's going to be happening, of course, with the town hall
meeting. Tomorrow night, 7 p.m.
Right. And that's at...
That's at the Civic Auditorium.
At the Civic Auditorium, so it can fit a lot of people. And also, in the news today, I know you've got a tab full.
I've got so much things.
But really, before we go to break, and then Bob comes in with the rainfall, I really would like to, right before we left this morning, of course, the news was about Chris Kyle. We want to talk about that. But it was so nice, especially because you've been sick, and so many other people have been ill with, you know, the colds. I had a girlfriend that said there is an epidemic going through their clinics of the flu and pneumonia. And everyone we talked to said, oh, everybody's got it. Everybody's got it. So anyway, it's very nice to be able to, like 9:15, I hit the rack last night. I mean, was in bed and just boom, went out until about 1:30 and then got up and then came, you know, back to sleep till 5:30. And that's because, you know, I have been blessed, we have been blessed with a Sleep Number bed. And I love the fact that my setting is at 45 and I'm just hanging around there. I love it.
My Sleep Number setting is 50. And now you too can have a great night's sleep. You know, it's early in the year. Why not give your loved one the perfect Valentine's Day present? How about a good night's sleep?
That would be a good Valentine's Day
years?
Present.
No, this is a good Valentine's. You know, it is the ultimate Valentine's
Blow
Day
present.
Blow
somebody's mind.
And not only now can you not only get the dual air technology, which allows Linda to sleep at her Sleep Number setting to be 40, but lets my Sleep Number setting be 50 because I've gone up because I've become
45.
Much
I'm
man.
At 45. You,
no, because I moved you to 40.
Oh,
because
okay.
I thought the Sleep IQ technology tells me that Linda sleeps better at 40. And that's
See
why
how it
you
is?
Have the Sleep
They're
IQ.
They're controlling you from the one,
even when you're
one remote.
Even when you're asleep. I can,
Would you
I,
set
I
my remote?
I set your remote a little bit different.
Jeez.
Because it looks like you sleep better if I do that. I'm just taking care
okay.
of you. Okay. And Sleep IQ technology is now available with Sleep Number beds can help you do that and empowers you to make adjustments. And that's what I was doing, making adjustments.
All right. Thanks.
Anyway, you're going to find – you only find Sleep Number at a Sleep Number store. Queen mattresses are starting at $599.99. That's right, $599.99. Plus, you can save 50%. On a limited edition bed.
Mm.
This is the time to do it. Head on down to your Sleep Number store in the Target Shopping Center. Go see Janice. Go see Brian. Go in there. Have them give you your Sleep Number setting. All right. When we come back, we have, okay. What's our latest now?
Well, actually, the numbers are not nearly as bad as I thought they would be. The normal for October 1st through February 10th is about 21 inches of rain. We're actually a little over 19 inches of the accumulated, most of that just in the last several days. So we had, of course, the very wet December and then the very scarily dry January. And then just in the last couple of weeks, we've picked up a good 6 inches of rain to kind of bring us up.
At least we're close to the average.
Shasta Lake is near the level it peaked at last year. So anything we get after this is an improvement over last year. Situation's still bad, but not exactly
well,
not as dire as it could
and
be.
We still have the snowpack, so it looks like it could
well,
be better this year.
We'll have another storm that comes through. And I haven't looked at, of course, the National Weather Service is what we print our forecast out from. And we have, again, the whole week is calling for clear skies and sunny days, with our Friday being around 76 and our weekend. It'll be a time to get out with the family over the President's Day weekend.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to be talking Turtle Bay.
And Chris Kyle.
Chris Kyle. Obama, ISIS, war, and elephants. We'll be right back.
For a tax pro who not only understands taxes but can review your investments to help lower your tax bill, call Tom Wood, Certified Financial Planner with the Advice Center. He specializes in tax preparation for businesses and investors. If you have a business or you've lost a spouse who took care of the taxes and investments and you want an experienced, compassionate advisor, call the Advice Center at 244-7526. This month, Tom's offering a free investment tax review and a financial bingo evening at Tortilla Flats Restaurant on February 25th at 7 p.m. Tom will be joined by estate planning attorney Deanne Parker to answer your tax and legal questions. For great food, fun, and a chance to ask how to avoid probate costs, or if you need a trust, call 244-7526. That's 244-PLAN. For experienced tax preparation, a free investment tax review, or to attend our financial bingo event, call 244-PLAN or go to theadvicecenter.com. Securities offered through Royal Alliance Associates, member FINRA, SIPC.
It's that time of year again for the 33rd annual Reading Gun Show, March 7th and 8th. Saturday hours are 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Sunday is 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Holiday Inn Convention Center, 1900 Hilltop Drive here in Redding, California. For more information, you can contact Jones's Fort at 222-3223 or Eagles Landing at 222-8556. And all proceeds go to the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the perfect fit of your favorite pair of jeans, the nap-inducing powers of your trusty recliner, and the tried-and-true performance of a new Rood home heating system. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance today, 530-221-2642. At Alliance Heating and Air, everybody calls us.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Better health means better business. Adamson's Peak Performance now offers businesses a variety of services aimed at making your employees healthier, fitter, and more productive. Our corporate wellness services include corporate membership rates, group personal training, discount personal training rates, fitness lectures and motivational talks, as well as customized corporate wellness plans. To schedule a corporate wellness consultation with Eric or to learn more, call us at 221-8006 or visit adamsonspeakperformance.com.
A few years back, a state agency called regarding a large shipment of new cars that had a steering problem. Don Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. They informed me shops all over California had looked at them, but no one could recommend a solution. The problem was, one front wheel turned quicker and farther than the other, causing erratic steering. Front wheels should turn together. Our inspection revealed a major steering component was incorrectly mounted from the factory. We fabricated a gauge to demonstrate the difference in travel from side to side, while a state supervisor observed. Then we relocated the steering component as indicated by our gauge. A test drive by the supervisor proved excellent. He had only one question. How long will it take to do 1,200 cars? Coachmaster, Collision Repair, Redding, California. 45 years in business and loving every minute of it.
Now, let's return to Carl and Linda Butt at Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 AM.
Good morning on this beautiful Wednesday. Some may call it hump day. I don't like that term, actually. Because, you know, I think every day is a beautiful day.
And I think every day is hump day. Hey, February the 11th today, and this portion of the show is brought to you by Northern Firearms Instruction. Ted Leidy provides not only, and his team, not only very professional instruction. All of them are NRA instructors. That's right. You know, NRA, National Rifle Association instructors. And for a limited time, NFI is going to provide a free firearm rental and ammunition for Shasta County residents who take a basic CCW course. Reason being is that some people haven't quite made up their mind what kind of gun they want to handle. And so we're going to help you with that in your selection, picking it out, and breaking that gun in. So give Ted a call at 999-1822 or check out the website at readingccw.com. Now, this weekend, on Sunday, they have an advanced class. Or you only take 10 people, maybe 11 people in an advanced class where you do shooting. You're going to be shooting 250 times. You're going to be going through scenarios. It's a very, very, very good way to have much better gun handling, much better awareness of what's going on around you, and better ways of dealing with situations, because we're going to put you through scenarios during this. Give them a call at 999-1822. 999-1822. All right. Kyle. Chris Kyle.
Okay. Well, starting the trial today. I don't know what they have to do before they actually start the trial, but the proceedings are starting today.
Yeah, they're picking a jury. It's going to be the defense is going to be insanity.
Well, okay, and or they're not really trying to get the death penalty, but life in prison. Now, here's the deal. I'm asking you because, you know, 30-some years in the Marine Corps, this guy suffered severely from PTSD. He went out. They didn't, according to, you know, my news source, it was Chris Kyle and his best friend, and I'm sorry I can't.
Littleman.
Okay. They had never met him before, but this is something that they did, is they took former veterans to the gun range in order to just, like, you know, have a brotherhood where they could work through things. And the wife of the guy who shot Chris Kyle was saying, or the mother, was saying that they were unhappy with, they didn't feel like he was getting good treatment. So they had contacted Chris Kyle to say, could you please, I don't know, it was a son or a husband. And you can see, I don't know, probably in your position, and help our listeners, because you can see both sides. You can see people who have PTSD and completely have lost it, but not to take a life, not to kill another Marine outside the battlefield.
I'm not there. I don't know the guy. You know, I'm reading reports that he was never out, you know, he was never out in combat, that he was deployed twice. He was an armorer, they were mortared a couple of times. But one of the guys that was with him said it wasn't a big thing, and that he had not been out on, you know, out in the ville. But, you know, stress handles, people handle stress different ways. I mean, this kind of thing with him, I don't know, you know, maybe, you know, sometimes maybe he was just so worried about being hurt that it just, you know, that did something to him. But to use I just have a tough time with people saying is that post-traumatic stress can cause you to kill somebody. I mean, what, that he went back into something where he thought he was, you know, they're saying he was insane. I mean, that he didn't know the difference between right and wrong. I mean, is that true? I mean, that's something for a jury trial. I mean, I know people that have been in all types of combat. I mean, all types of combat, you know, horrendous things. And yet they don't seem to be, you know, they don't crawl into a corner and whimper. You know, they get on with their lives. They run businesses. They go into things. I mean, and, you know, the question is for me, especially when it comes to post-traumatic stress, is we have nothing. We don't have a baseline for people. Why don't we test people before they come in? Is there, you know, seeing, okay, how much PTSD are you, or, I mean, how affected are you from post-traumatic stress because your daddy beat you or beat your mommy, or that you were in a car wreck, or that you were sexually assaulted, or that, you know, whatever it is, you know, in your life that says, hey, you know, you're coming into the service with 15% PTSD, I mean, or maybe 30% PTSD. Do we want to have them in? Now, let me just talk a little bit about military right now. Obama has just is going to Congress and asking for an enduring war act. And I'm not exactly sure what enduring is, but he says he wants to make it last for 3 years. He wants Congress to approve it. And what he does is he's giving it to the next president for a year. He's slowing down the withdrawal of Afghanistan. He wants to go after ISIS, wherever ISIS is. not a big, he said, not putting in ground troops, large groups of ground troops. It doesn't mean special forces. But that could mean anything. They could land a battalion of Marines or a Marine Expeditionary Unit in some place to go after them. I mean, once you get the War Powers Act, and this is at the same time the Obama administration is cutting thousands out of the military, cutting weapon systems, cutting training, and worst of all, they're cutting benefits for those on active duty and those retired from active duty, cutting benefits, making them pay more. At the same time, they're ramping up the war again. You know, the peace president, who now is they're looking at Afghanistan as, you know what, we're slowing down Afghanistan because it could become a haven for ISIS. Tens of thousands of people, of foreign fighters, are joining ISIS right now. And what's our strategy? Well, the first step, and, you know, okay, President Obama, let's see what you mean by this. And he's trying to get a bipartisan approach. And, he's trying to keep it in such a way the Democrats are not just going to castigate him for putting men and women on the ground again. But yet, these guys are a threat. He has finally said they are a threat to our country. They are a threat to our people. My gosh. You know, maybe at some point he'll actually say it's an Islamic jihadist threat to our country, because it is. I mean, it is. How do you keep avoiding this? It's not all Muslims. No, it's not. And the guy that bombed somebody that shot an abortion mill, doctor was not, a Christian, no matter what they said. You know, the thing about it is that there are jihadists of all faiths. And when you find these jihadists that are out to destroy us, you take them down. But you have to identify them, Mr. President. All right. And just it bothers me is at the same time they're taking away all these they're cutting back the military, they're cutting back on armed training, they're doing all these things, equipment, everything, but especially training, and now they want to send them back into war again. Oh, by the way, you're going to have to pay for living on base. Oh, by the way, we're going to think about doing away with the commissaries. Oh, by the way, you're having to pay for medical care for your kids. By the way, you know what? Mr. Obama is the true equitarian here. He wants to bring back the draft, because that's where you're heading to. When you do away with the volunteer force, what are you going to have left, my friends? And how much are you willing to pay for a volunteer force? How much do you want? Is it worth to keep your kid out of war? Huh? Well, let's just find out.
I don't know. What do you think about the draft?
Well, frankly, I think there's nothing wrong with government service for every, not any exemptions, for every one of our high school seniors when they graduate, or when they graduate from college, 2 years. Now, does that mean in the service? It could be for some. Does it mean is it mean cleaning trails? Does it mean working in hospitals, working in VA hospitals? Does it mean these things? Yes, it does, but it means service to your country. Here's your buy-in. For everybody, no exceptions. Nope, I don't care if you're a Harvard graduate and you get ready to go to law school. Nope, sorry, you're out here, you're over here helping in the VA center. Anyway.
All right, and our thoughts and our prayers go out to the family, and all the people who came to the aid of the family of Kayla Jean Mueller. And, of course, she was that 26-year-old aid worker who traveled the world on a quest to help others. She died. They recently just got the news that she did die at the hands of ISIS, the militants. And she traveled around the world. She was a woman who, helped in the aid of coming to help others in need. And I can just only – I can't imagine. I only just pray for the hearts of the families, the family that – got news after 2 years. And I understand that, Congress and there were so many people that tried to find her. And
They even had a rescue attempt when after one time.
They did. In fact, this morning on the news, Obama had said that he had sent a group in for her and a few of the other Americans. Yeah. But they
failed. This is what I heard yesterday. I actually heard some people saying, well, she chose to be there. She chose to be there. Why should we go out and rescue her?
What?
Well, I mean, no. This was some of the things that were being said. And I listened to a guy that emailed in. He was a vet, or he's on active duty, says, excuse me, but that's our job. You know what? She volunteered to go out and help people. And if she's in trouble, this is America. And the last time we looked is that we helped Americans. Okay, I'm on to me now. The last time I looked is that if we had an American in trouble and we had the opportunity to do it, we're going to go after and help them. She should be punished for going out to try and help people. Yes, she volunteered to go there. How many times have people volunteered to go places? And, you know, how about this? The inner city and things happen and then the police go in. I mean, so the police shouldn't go in because somebody just went in there because, oh, you shouldn't be in that place. You know, how stupid is this? Who in their right mind would say, because people are out there trying to help, you know, and those people trying to help, they bring a little bit of America with them. Well, who are you? I'm here to help you. You know, where are you from? I'm from America. You know, I mean, they're not talking philosophies. They're not talking politics. They're talking about helping. And then barbarians, jihadist barbarians, terrorists grab her. Muslim terrorists grab her and then they execute her. And people wonder why, if we should go after her and others like her. I feel sorry for you people that actually believe that. We'll be right back after the messages.
What are you in the mood for dinner tonight? How about a Jack's Grill world-famous steak, a fork tender filet mignon, a hot and juicy New York steak or brochet of beef cooked to perfection and so tender you can cut it with a smile? Maybe deep-fried prawns or golden fried chicken all served with garlic bread, hot baked potato or french fries, and a large family-style bowl of tossed green salad with homemade dressing of your choice. Are you in the mood? Meet friends and family at Jack's Grill, a Reading landmark since 1938. Open Monday through Saturday on California Street, downtown Reading.
Pre-planning your funeral or cremation will give you and your family peace of mind. Pre-planning guarantees that your wishes will be carried out. Prepaid plans locks in today's prices and gives you full control. Don't let your loved ones face confusing choices and high costs. Call Blair's Cremation and Burial Service at 241-3400 and let us assist in making life's challenges easier. For a consultation, call Blair's Cremation and Burial Service at 241-3400 or visit blairscremation.com.
Hello, I'm Chuck Kenny, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. My wife Judy and I started Shasta Gas 17 years ago with the goal of providing safety, service, and savings to our neighbors here in Shasta County. We've been blessed with over 4,000 customers that have chosen us to be their propane supplier. Our motto is, our customers are warm friends. Speaking of warm, summer is gone and fall is here. Now is the time to consider your propane service for this upcoming winter and give us a call at 365-3793. The price difference could be significant between companies, but price should not be the only consideration. Safety is our first priority, so we perform safety checks when we set a new tank. If dealing with a locally owned, family-operated company is important to you, then please give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. Give us a call and let us call you one of our warm friends.
Prepare for the coming summer with our winter special now through March at Sight for Sore Eyes on Cypress Avenue and save 50% on all sunglass frames. At Sight for Sore Eyes, we provide competitive prices and the personal service you can only get from a locally owned eye care professional. Right now, with your purchase of a complete pair of eyeglasses, we'll subtract $100, plus we'll give you a second pair of glasses absolutely free. This is a standalone offer not valid with any other offers, discounts, coupons, or insurance programs. Some restrictions apply. Please see our store for complete details. Sight for Sore Eyes has same-day service, precision-crafted lenses, and a large selection of stylish designer frames. Or if your budget is tight, we also have a large selection of budget-friendly frames. Fast, friendly service, reasonably priced eyewear, and veterans discounts are our specialty at Sight for Sore Eyes on Cypress Avenue next to Leslie's Pools. We accept all current doctor's prescriptions, all major credit cards, and we do your insurance paperwork. Sight for Sore Eyes. Call for an appointment today.
It's Carl and Linda Butt and Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 with Carl and Linda Butt. Good morning, 7:34 in the morning, 45 degrees today on February the 11th, 2015, for those who are just maybe not quite sure. And this portion of the show is brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive. Guys, Valentine's Day is coming up quick. It's Saturday. So that gives you today, tomorrow and Friday to head down to Four Winds Jewelry and find that special, special gift. Whether it's a loose stone, whether it's an opal ring, whether it's something from an estate jewelry sale, something out of the back parts of Leonard's safe at the store, which he keeps the special stuff in. Ask him to see the special things. Leonard has got great sales going. He's got Valentine's Day sales going, and he's going to make a deal for you you can't believe. Four Winds Jewelry, he is entirely trustworthy. He's got the only watch repairman in the whole area working right there with him at Four Winds Jewelry. 2225 Hilltop Drive, open Monday through Friday from 9 to 4:30. So you can't run in there Saturday and get it. You got to do it before then, right across the street from Sierra Gibbs.
All right. It is actually February 11th.
What did I say?
I thought you said February 15th.
No, I said I said 15 something. I'm not exactly sure what it was. But
well, I just heard 15 and I went, ooh, mid-month.
Because I was thinking that
Valentine's
Day?
Yeah. And we're doing
2015.
Yeah, we're doing a show on February 14th out at Wind River, by the way. So.
And gosh, you know what? I hope there's...
Lady Bot and the Bluebirds. We rehearsed last night. It was pretty fabulous. So I'm looking forward to...
I don't even know if
there's
any tickets left, but people need to call.
There may be a couple places at the bar if you want to come in and have a cocktail.
You can see well from the bar, too.
6 to 8 p.m. So check it out. With us this morning, I'm very encouraged, and so we're so pleased to have Desi Baxter with us from Blood Centers of the Pacific. Good morning, Desi.
Good morning.
All right. So you are a donor recruitment. Can you share with our listeners? You came in and said you need blood. You are a recipient of blood. Can you share a little bit with our listeners about your story?
Yeah, I've been working in blood banking for 16 years now, and 9 years ago, it turned the tables on me. I was having my third baby, and she was born, and all of a sudden I started feeling funny about an hour after she was born, and I'd started to hemorrhage. And the next thing I knew, I had six doctors standing around me calling for blood stat, and I received 4 units of blood. During that time, my new baby was flown to San Francisco because she wasn't breathing well, and they had her hooked up to all the tubes, and I had to say goodbye to her as they put her on a helicopter and sent her to San Francisco to get a little bit more intense care. And 2 days after she got there, my husband got a phone call in the middle of the night. They said, "We've tried everything. Our last resort is to give her blood transfusions." He, of course, said right away, "Of course, yes, give it to her." She just celebrated her 9th birthday, and if it wasn't
did they ever know what it was? What did the blood do? Did it just kind of...
She was having trouble breathing, so the red blood cells carry the oxygen, so it reoxygenated her.
Pumped her up. You know, this is what athletes do. Did you know this? I mean, I don't know if people know this, but and it's called blood doping. And what they do is they work out really hard, and they get all this oxygen in their blood, and they take a pint out or 2 pints out of themselves, and then when it gets time for them to compete, they take a blood transfusion,
right,
which puts it back into their system, which oxygenates their blood, superoxygenates their blood, and you know it's.
Is this something that's legal?
No, it's not legal. But see, it works. That's why, and that's why they probably did that.
But it's legal in Mexico. That's why a lot of people go over the border to have a lot of this. It's oxygenating. I know several people that go across to the border to get some work done because it's not illegal. But anyway, we got off on the blood thing. But it's interesting
that's
that
why they did it.
Yeah, they did it because it helps. I don't know why that hasn't been cleared. But what your daughter had happened was a literal transfusion.
Right. She had 4 transfusions. So in the course of a couple of days, 8 people who didn't know me or my daughter who gave blood weeks before that saved our lives.
Well, you know, that's great. You know, and that's what blood transfusions do.
And I have 2 other kids and a husband, and I'm so thankful that I'm here to even talk about it, but that I'm here to share my life and carry on.
Well, one of the girls that works for us, Molly, had the same experience where she was saved by blood transfusions. And as we were talking about during the, you know, before you came on, is my ex-wife. Hemorrhaged tremendously with the mother of my daughter, and they had units of blood going into her to save her life. And I mean, I've been in situations in all over the world where, you know, we line up to give blood, to save people. And you know, and trust me, they don't check your blood real well. I mean, they check to make sure you don't have a hepatitis or HIV or something
right.
like that. But they're still out there.
In the battlefield.
And we need in the battlefield, and it's a battlefield of life back here.
Absolutely.
So, we
so we're
blood.
Talking to Desi Baxter, who is the account donor recruitment. You're the donor recruitment for blood at the Blood Centers of the Pacific.
Yes, Shasta Blood Center.
Shasta Blood Center. And you are located at on Larkspur Lane.
Yes, right across from the Salvation Army.
So what do you need?
Right now, we have a critical need for O-negative blood. O-negative is the universal blood type, so it can be given to anybody at any time. So if a car accident happens and they don't have time to test that person's blood type, they give them O-negative. And right now, I think the flu has hit extremely hard, and if you can't donate if you're sick, and it's really depleted our supply, especially of that critical O-negative.
Oh, yeah, I'm on antibiotics right now.
Yeah, right. And a lot of people are. Yeah. I mean, it's if you're sick, you can't donate, and it's February,
wow.
So it's difficult.
O negative is the universal donor. Now, I don't know. For some reason, my whole life, I've always thought it was like O positive was that, but it's not. It's O negative.
It's O negative, but O positive is very important because 38% of the population has O positive. So that means 38% of the patients in the hospital using blood will need O positive blood. So while O negative is 6% of the population and is good for everybody, that O positive is just as important because those are the patients that are in the hospital. So once they get them fixed up with the O neg, they'll switch them over to their blood specific type, which is better for them.
What about what's the most rare blood type?
AB negative. It's 1% of the population.
Can you give O negative to AB negative?
Absolutely.
Okay. AB negative then. So that's is that it? Do you pay extra money for that or pay money for that?
I have
AB negative. That'll be, pay me $10 a pint.
No, but if you have AB, we'd have you come in and donate plasma because AB is the universal plasma donor. Blood's got so much stuff going on that once you come down and visit us, we'll teach you all about it.
And we're going to be doing a live remote from your center in April.
Yes.
And Bad Bob's going to
And is there a special drive in April?
We're going to be doing something called a diamond drop.
Oh, my gosh. Wait till you hear this.
Where we're going to have a diamond necklace put in an ice sculpture. And everybody who comes in and donates on that day can guess what time they think the ice will melt and the diamond will fall out.
Wow.
And then you'll get the necklace if you guess the right time. It's super fun. I've done it a couple of other times.
Such a great idea.
It's super fun.
Okay. So people come in. They give a pint of blood. And then you look at it, and you look at the ice sculpture, you look at that, and you say, okay, now do you have to be it's the one closest to the time.
It's the one closest to
the
time.
So that doesn't mean you have to have the exact time or nobody wins. No, it's the one closest to the time before it drops out of the ice sculpture.
Yep, and I've done it several times before, and I'm amazed at the different times that it's come out when I lived in North Dakota. So it's really cold in North Dakota, so it took a little while for it to melt.
And it's no fun going, and it's no fair going up and pretend that you're really looking at it close and blowing on it.
Yeah, no. I'll have armed guards.
That's right. No hugging it, no licking the ice sculpture,
none of those things.
Of course, then your tongue sticks to it. So
Blood Centers of the Pacific, it's Desi Baxter as our special guest. What a fascinating story. Again, I think a lot of people, we don't realize when we're walking around in our community, the person sitting next to you had their lives and the lives of their children were saved
right. Because
of the donation of blood. You can save a life today and not even know how you're passing it on.
Right.
Now, a pint of blood can help how many people? It's not just, it's not just one person.
No, it's up to three people. Because once you donate, we take it back to our lab and we separate it out into different components. Mm-hmm. So it can potentially go to three different people and save three different lives.
See, that's the other thing that's great. And you know what? I meet people that, you see them, they're kind of like, a lot of them are older people. And they've given 842 pints of blood. and I'm looking at them, not all on the same day, okay? But they've given over the years, and they come down, how often?
You can donate every 8 weeks.
Every 2 months, they come in, they give the blood. Now, other people come in they can come in weekly for platelets, right?
Correct.
And they give platelets. Now, what do platelets do?
Platelets are the clotting factor of your blood. So if it's used a lot for cancer patients.
And then they put the blood back in you, right?
Correct. We have a machine that's bedside, and it kind of does that, the process that we would do in the lab all next to you. So It's pretty slick.
Yeah, I don't know how much longer we can talk about this because Bad Bob looks faint. He's over there. He's starting to kind of reel back and forth in his, you know. You did. You kind of looked at, yeah, I know. Yo, I just need some coffee. Yeah, right. We're going to get Bad Bob down there. Let's put tubes in both of his arms.
Yeah.
And how much blood can Bob give?
Well, you can give one pint each time you donate.
Why?
Because your body only has 10 to 12, so we don't want to...
That depends on size, right?
It depends on size. Like, my husband's 6'7", so he's got a few more pints than
You can tap a couple off him. You know, you could probably drain him. He's asleep. You could probably pop a pint out of
him. I make him.
Did you see that movie, MASH, when they were looking for blood, and the one guy, the major nobody liked, he had the blood, but he wasn't going to give blood, so they were... He goes to sleep, and they chloroformed him, and then they took a pint of blood.
We don't use those tactics.
No.
You got to be willing.
Okay.
But,
Jesse,
of course, Carl has to give his little, like, you know no scare tactics here. But anyway, so with us this morning has been Desi Baxter.
Yeah,
she's the donor recruitment and, of course, an account representative for you to go into the Blood Centers of the Pacific, which is in the Shasta Center, 2680 Larkspur Lane. And if you've been thinking about it, but you haven't done it, you know, ONEG is the universal.
Yes.
We need
ONEG. And they need it because people have been sick. So if you've been well, go in and give blood.
Here's one thing. You could go down right now and give blood. And then when Linda and I are down there in April for our remote, let's go down. Let's have a little party down there. We can see, somebody's going to win the diamond, diamond necklace, diamond bracelet.
It's a diamond necklace. Yeah.
So let's come on down now, then we'll come on back down there, and we'll have a great day.
Yep, absolutely.
What's your phone number down there?
It is 221-0600.
Hey, thank you so much for being here with us.
Desi May.
Thank you for what you do for our community, too.
Absolutely.
All right, hey, we're going to be right back after these messages.
The animals of Turtle Bay Exploration Park by making them an honorary part of your family with Turtle Bay's Adopt an Animal program. All animals need lots of love and support, and you can help. With 4 adoption levels to fit every price range, adopting an animal at Turtle Bay makes a great gift for the animal lover in your life. Support the animals of Turtle Bay with your honorary adoption today at the Turtle Bay Museum Store and Coffee Bar or by visiting turtlebay.org. Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Isn't it wonderful?
If you take multiple prescriptions, you know the hassle of renewing prescriptions as they run out. Every prescription is another trip to the pharmacy. It could be 3 or 4 or 5 trips in a month. Now, Owens Pharmacy can make your life easier with MedSafe. It's a new service that adjusts your pill count so that all your prescriptions renew on the same day. One date to renew all your prescriptions for 30 or 90 days. And it's automatic. So you don't need to remember it. And you won't run out. Save time. Save gas. Save the hassle. Let us make your life easier. Call Owens Pharmacy today to sign up for MedSync. Imagine the time you'll save. Call 1-800-MY-OWENS and we'll give you one less thing to remember. Owens Pharmacy. Making your life easier.
Hi, Mark Story here to let you know that Haven Humane Society is taking great pride in serving the pet population and pet owners in the community. As CEO of Haven Humane, I invite everyone to check out our new adoption center and all the programs we have in place to help the animals in our care find their forever homes. And our spay-neuter clinic is also here to offer those families on a fixed income pet vaccinations and spay and neuter services. Contact Haven Humane at 241-1653 or visit us East Side Road off of 273.
For over 38 years, Kent's Meats and Groceries have proudly served their loyal customers, providing USDA choice meats, including organic and nitrate-free products, Prairie Ranch natural premium beef, ham, bacon, sausage, smoked and processed in their own facility, fresh quality locally grown organic produce, and so much more. This week's Kent specials include Folgers Coffee, $8.98, Kent's Bumbling Bugler, 750 milliliter red blend wine, $14.98, Lean Pork Shoulder Roast, $1.48 per pound, Lean Old Fashioned Flavor Corned Beef and Summer Sausage, $6.98 per pound. In Kent's Produce Department, you'll find tender asparagus, $2.48 per pound, 98 cents per pound navel oranges, and first of the season white corn. Kent's is the home of Kathy's Deli for party trays, salads, side dishes, sandwiches, and special orders to round out any meal, including this week's special, authentic Italian flavor rigatoni. Check out their cheese case featuring over 30 choices of the finest premium natural organic cheeses from the Loletta Cheese Factory. Kent's Meats and Grocery at Kathy's Deli. Open 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. 7 days a week. 1 mile south of the Reading Airport next to Windsor Gardens Nursery on Airport Road.
Thanks for joining Carl and Linda Bott and Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda shaking it big. This portion of the show is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew. Our friends, Joe and Shelly, down there at 2143 Hilltop Drive. Hey, what can I say? Great, great, great coffee, espresso, cafe, lattes, all of it at Espresso Joe's. And, of course, when you're next door, you have everything in the tobacco environment you could possibly want. From lighters to roll-your-owns to the finest walk-in humidor in Northern California. All of this at Tobacco and Brew, where veterans always get discounts. And you're treated very, very well. And Joe and Shelly have supported this community in like about 1,000 different ways and have not stopped, have never backed off, and are just, you know, just great members of our community. You know, you need to go down to Tobacco and Brew. Walk in there, you know, beer, sodas, everything you could possibly want. And by the way, Lotto tickets down there at $480 million for the big lotto. Head on down to Tobacco and Brew. Usually I don't tell people this because I go down there and buy my lotto tickets from Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Okay, they're going to start moving dirt here, sweetie, for Turtle Bay, July 1st, the day, you know, a couple of days after that that clawback.
Clawback.
The clawback provision
ends. But the prevailing wage is still looming. Still looming for the prevailing wage.
Okay. That's right. That's still going on. There's lawsuits going on about that.
Something I want to talk about, you know, I know it's on everybody's tip of the lips. We talked about it at the break.
It's on the tip of their tongue.
Tip of their lips.
Tip of their lips.
Okay. That's my expression. That's too good.
I like it.
You know, there's something in the sports are such a big deal, but we talked about this at the break, but I don't think it's something that we really put onto the air. And that's about the Little League Jackie Robinson West of all tournament victories. The U.S. title has been awarded to Mountain Ridge.
Okay,
what we're talking about here is the Little League Baseball has stripped Chicago's Jackie Robinson West, which, of course, the whole thing cringed because Jackie Robinson has a, you know, a league named after him, a little league, the West All-Stars of the United States Championship, for using players who lived outside the area that team represents.
Now,
so they stripped the team.
They were the United States champions.
All I could think about is this is along the lines of what it is to stretch the truth. There's a bittersweet here. The sweet for me is, you know, you don't cross the lines of the rules. You know, it's Paletti's in the house. So, you know, if I'm going to run a red light, I'm going to get a ticket. I'm going to get busted.
Not all the time.
Well, if you get caught, you get caught. There's nothing you can say about it. A camera tells you you were there.
If you're at the camera light,
you all right, get caught. So there are rules. So it seems that the team's representative or the manager of the team was going outside of the area to recruit other players so that they could have the best players.
So they could then, you know, so they could compete at a higher
level. At a higher level.
In Little League.
And
the kids knew they didn't live in this. They had a map, and they went outside the map, and they used other coaches. So they could bring in kids to beef up that team. And they won the United States Championship by using illegal players. And people were complaining about it. It's a huge secret.
According to the Little League, this is the third time that such punitive action has been taken. Little League disqualified the Zamboanga Philippine City League in 1992 and the Rolanda Paulino Little League from Bronx, New York in 2001. The 2001 incident was related to age discrepancies involving star pitcher Danny Almonte.
Well, they found out he was 23 years old. He was short for his age.
He had a mustache.
And he had a mustache.
And it was beyond puberty.
And two children, one of whom played on the team with him. So that was going a little bit far.
Well, all I could think about is, what about the kids that really were just into playing the game.
Just playing the game.
That stood in front of the thousands of people that were there when they were awarded their trophies. And to think that they were part of this scandal, it just, that's the part that makes me cringe.
The little Tommy
has been, that's 8 years, I don't even know how old you have to be in a little league. I don't know what their ages are.
Some of them think they're like, but here's the thing is, the kids did what they thought was right. But I think probably some of them knew. They knew that, you know, however they said, oh no, y'all can play on a team. So let's say the kids didn't know, but the parents knew. And other parents knew. When they did this, and when they did this to the team, they gave a black eye not only to the kids but to the parents.
And how about Jackie Robinson's legacy?
The Jackie Robinson legacy, who played the game the right way. But then you also have, you know, it's from Chicago. You know, I mean, I'm not even going to say anything about that. The fact that it's, you know, hey, this is the Chicago way. You bring a pitcher in, we bring two from out of the area. I mean, you pull a fastball, we pull a shotgun and keep you from going into third. But let's tie this in to what we see in just everyday life. How about somebody by the name of Brian Williams?
Oh my goodness,
who makes millions of dollars a year for reading the news. Well, he's making the news. And why is he making the news? He's lying about combat. And then now that he lied about combat, that happened in 2003. And by the way, Chief Paletti's in here. Good morning, Chief.
Good morning.
We're just going to throw you in here on the fire, too, before we get you in
here
regularly.
We need to get close to that mic.
You've got Brian, yeah, you've got Brian Williams, who said in 2003 during the first battles into Iraq that and he's been saying this for years. He didn't say it right away, that his helicopter was hit by an RPG, forced down. Then there was the sandstorm for 3 days and how dangerous it was and all this. Well, people have been saying for years since that happened, even though he keeps embellishing it, that's not what happened. And finally this last time, when he's talking about how he was hit and forced down, with a crew chief or the pilot came back and said, you weren't on that aircraft. You didn't get there for 30 minutes afterwards. And when that happened, and Stars and Stripes broke that story too, you know, pushed that story, Brian Williams comes out pretty quickly and says, you're right. I confused the incidents. And I've been confusing them for 12 years. What do you think?
Well, I mean, in any circumstance, you know, just
put your lieutenant colonel hat on.
Well, just being in the area, I think is courageous enough for a reporter. You don't have to embellish stories to try to make yourself seem, you know, more than you are. I flew a lot in helicopters throughout Iraq in 05, 06, and 2009, 2010, and nobody ever shot at us while we were in a helicopter. Now, the stories that I tell my grandkids might be a little different.
Well, it's one thing for you and I to be down at the VFW with a bunch of our friends going, yeah, I remember seeing those tracers. You know, yeah, I saw tracers. They were going the opposite direction. But, but the thing about it is what people are upset about, and they should be upset about, is here's a guy that does the news. He's a man that you have to trust that he's giving you the right story. And then you find out not only did he lie about this, he's embellished it. Now they're checking on other stories that he's done, and perhaps they're not all true.
Well, you know, there was quite a few times in Iraq, you know, when you're flying in a helicopter and all of a sudden you see the flares flying by from the helicopter and you're wondering if you're getting shot at, and you realize that they've just got to burn the flares to repack fresh ones. So, you know, you could get somebody confused, but I think that the need to embellish to make yourself seem braver than you are is a little despicable.
He didn't need to do that.
Just being there and reporting with the soldiers or Marines is courageous.
And
enough.
We took care of them. I mean, you know, the guys that are embedded with you, you take care of them because they're out there now. You know, of course, when they're making millions of dollars. Now, he's just been suspended from NBC News. It was serious enough for 6 months without pay, which is something like $5 million, Linda was saying. I can't help but think there's probably some under the table payment. But is his career finished?
That's not my decision, obviously. But,
realistically. Nor is it mine. But
realistically, anybody that's willing to go over whether to report the news or to serve, you know, in combat – you know, you don't have to embellish the stories because they've already earned.
But how many? But then you have to ask yourself, and I agree. You know, once you're there, whether somebody shot at you or not, I mean, you're there, you volunteer. I mean, you're out there, you know. But when people rely on you to tell the truth and give the news without, you know, without self, you know, without injecting yourself into it, I think is the big problem.
It all goes back to integrity. You have to believe who's talking to you.
The integrity part. And that's why when we come back, we're going to talk to Reading Police Chief Rob Poletti. We're going to talk about the town hall meeting, crime, and all the things you're doing right now. You're pretty starting to put, you're starting to put the screws down there, buddy.
As they say, drop the hammer. We'll be right back. KCNR 1460.
The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. President Obama is asking Congress to approve the use of military force against the Islamic State group. Here's SRN's Greg Cluxton.
In a letter to lawmakers, the president says ISIS militants pose a threat to the Middle East and to U.S. national security. He argues that the U.S. homeland could be threatened if ISIS goes unchecked. The president's draft resolution seeks formal authority to use military force. He proposes no geographic limitations where U.S. forces could pursue militants, and he offers to limit the authorization to 3 years. Greg Clugston, SRN News, The White House.
Also at SRNNews.com, Senate Republicans say Democrats are filibustering the beginning of the debate about funding for Homeland Security.
The Democrats in the Senate have three times in the last 5 days opposed a move to begin the debate on funding DHS. There's a filibuster at the front end, which, you know, isn't really what people usually think of as a filibuster. They won't allow us to begin the discussion of funding Homeland.
GOP Senator Ben Sasse of Nebraska telling the Salem Radio Network that the news media are wrongly faulting Republicans for holding up Homeland Security funding over immigration. NBC says it is suspending Brian Williams as nightly news anchor and managing editor for 6 months without pay for misleading the public about his experiences covering the Iraq War. Frank Sesno is director of the School of Media and Public Affairs at the George Washington University.
People I talk to at NBC News who are familiar with the thinking say folks in the inner circle of the network don't expect him back. And they tell me that the troops are really demoralized and in some cases livid about this.
Also at SRNNews.com on Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average has been struggling ever since the opening bell, coming off a 139-point gain yesterday. Right now, it is a Dow down about 63 points. NASDAQ doing better, though. It's up about 40. And this is SRN News.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? With Visiting Angels, America's Choice in Senior Home Care, your parents and older family members can continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates. To restore your family's peace of mind, call Visiting Angels toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE or at visitingangels.com.
20 years of debt management services, nearly $100 million saved in finance charges. It's Trinity's 20th anniversary, and these are just a few of the milestones we're celebrating as we begin our third decade of helping people become debt-free for keeps.
My name is Mike. Trinity brought us relief by greatly reducing our interest and consolidating our bills into one easy-to-manage monthly payment.
Call 1-800-990-6976. 1-800-990-6976.
Authorities say New York City inspectors, landlords, and contractors formed a 50-person network of graft. New York City Investigations Commissioner Mark Peters says inspectors tried to help shady contractors in some cases.
In one case, after a worker fell 10 feet off a beam, a building's construction chief focused not on the worker's safety or the integrity of the building, but instead on instructing the contractor on how to get an ambulance to the site without raising the suspicions of the buildings department or OSHA.
The network is accused of exchanging payoffs to get safety violations dismissed, procure phony eviction orders, and get fast, favorable, and sometimes non-existent inspections. Stocks opened lower on Wall Street, led by declines in energy companies. Chevron and ExxonMobil among the biggest decliners in the Dow Jones Industrial Average in the first few minutes of trading. The price of oil fell 70 cents in New York. This is SRN News. An expected vote in the House to approve construction of the Keystone pipelines sure to touch off the first big battle between the president and new Republican-controlled Congress.
Opponents of the pipeline are demanding to see the results of a State Department review before moving ahead, a review the department's been working on for more than 6 years. Supporters, mostly Republicans, accusing the department of stonewalling and bowing to pressure from environmentalists. House approval would send the bill to the president's desk, where it faces a threatened veto.
That's Wally Hines reporting. The White House setting up a new agency designed to coordinate cyber threat intelligence that currently is spread all across the federal government. Lisa Monaco is assistant to the president for Homeland Security.
It was a game changer.
She's referring to the hacking of Sony recently. She says it was the first time a company has been hacked by a political leader of another country just for political reasons with no profit motive. More details at srnnews.com. From Washington, I'm Bob Agnew.
The news was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. Good morning. It is Wednesday, February the 11th. It's 8:05 in the morning, 605-4567 is our phone number, and we're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. Hop into our chat room. Well, good morning to everybody in our chat room. Good morning to Linda.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's currently 47 degrees in the downtown studios here in Reading. It's going to be sunny today with temperatures around 74. Mostly clear tonight with our lows of 46. Now, the forecast on Thursday calls for a high of 77. Thursday night is mostly clear with 47, and we go on to Friday with our highs of 76. And as we go through the weekend, our forecast calls for a sunny and mostly clear weekend with Washington's birthday around 70, mostly clear nights with around 45. Now, the weather is brought to you by each and every day Shasta Gas Propane, where our customers are warm friends, locally owned and operated. They give senior and veteran discounts. Give them a call at 365-3793. Well, the chief is in the house.
The chief is in the house. Can we say that?
Well, I'm here.
Okay. Reading, the Reading Chief of Police, Rob Pletty, is here. First of all, Rob, a big – you know what? I'm going to do a shout-out to you because One Safe Place had, their, of course, their crab feet and the last Saturday night. And you offered up an extremely attractive auction package there. And, you know, in the package was the
– Bob's cracking up over there.
Trap shooting with the chief, and a lunch provided by you, and you may even bring in your father,
your Italian food.
So I mean, as the ladies were saying down there, that package sold for more than practically anything else down there. It went for five times the amount that they expected, and people were just crazy. I was the auctioneer.
People want Rob's food.
Well, apparently I better cook well that day. But yeah, I have talked to Dad Paletti and my brother, who's a chef, and if they can, they're going to come up and cook with me that day. And then I've got a couple of officers that are going to come out with their smokers and make the tri-tips and
wow.
That kind of thing. So
well, that's going to be a big day then.
Yeah,
so.
it should be fun.
Well, we want to be a big shout out to
just no laughing at how I shoot trap, because that is not my thing. But
you and I are going to get on the ends there and show people. You know, we're going to show people how not to do it. But then you don't have to know how to shoot trap to do this. We'll get you through the this.
Now I will say, if my brother comes, my brother has a multitude of sporting clays belt buckles from winning tournaments. So he's
if he's
recovered from his back surgery enough to be able to fire a shotgun. My brother is very good at it.
Well, anyway, thank you for offering this up, because it was a big event, and as they say, for One Safe Place, they made more money on this year than they ever have. So I'm just, they're very, very happy, and they so much appreciate the support of the community and people like yourself. And then, of course, Assemblyman Brian Daly also put a package out there for shooting squeaks. and that went for a double the price. Also, so it was a good night for everybody there. So good. Again, a big thanks, a big shout out to you. Okay, tomorrow, big night.
Yeah, this is this will be our ninth town hall meeting tomorrow night. You know, we had the pageantry of the Safe City Project, and we've done. You know, this is more Rob Pelletti and the nuts and bolts of you know what happened last year in crime. I keep saying this year because I'm still a year behind in statistics. So if at the town hall meeting I say this year, we're referring to 2014. So we'll break it down like we normally do and go through, you know, all the violent crime statistics and show you what happened with, you know, the number of calls for service last year and property crimes and where we've had successes and where we still have challenges. And then we're going to go over the information that we've been able to gather with the homeless you know, data that we've collected up to this point and show people kind of the scope of that problem in the community.
This homeless data you have is going to, you know, is eye-opening, I think.
Yeah, I think it might be a little shocking to some to see the volume and the scope of the problem. But, you know, it also gives us a good idea to look at, you know, why are they in Reading and allow us to, you know, as a community – to look at solutions for those things. If you don't have data and you don't have reasons, then you can't find solutions to problems.
You can't just shotgun an approach because, you know, frankly, nothing's been done by our nothing's been done by our elected representatives, as far as I'm concerned.
But this is not going to be, you know, the video showing, you know, their life, their touching life story or anything else.
No.
It's more focused on here's the facts. Here's where they've come from. Here's where they are in Reading.
And why they're here.
And let's look at the environmental damage that's being created and look at some real photos of what, you know, transient camps are and then talk about why they're here. And you know, since we started collecting this data, I've met with, you know, the board of the Good News Rescue Mission, and Jonathan Anderson is going to be there. And, you know, I'm going to let him, you know, talk about, you know, the Good News Rescue Mission and some of the changes that they're looking at making based on, you know, the data that we've collected and give him an opportunity to say, yeah, we are a member of the community and here's how we're going to adjust what we're doing so that we can help contribute to the solution, not the problem.
Good. Okay. And as one of our listeners has written in here, Chief, we know about the problem and we don't have a solution yet. And I think that it's not entirely true. I think we have a solution out there. I think that we just don't have the intestinal fortitude to process it. The solution's been sitting in front of our face for 3 years. We just don't have the personnel, one, to prosecute that, and two, the intestinal fortitude to push it. I am really happy to hear that the Good News Rescue Mission, whom we support also, is out there to say, hey, we might, you know, think about maybe making changes so that they're helping people from here and not everywhere in the world. I hope I'm going to hear that from them. I mean, I don't know. The other thing I've been trying to push all of our city council reps is, are you ready to make ordinances here that make it illegal for people to panhandle on the medians and also lying and sitting on the streets?
The sit lie ordinance, actually I had a volunteer twice that told me that that he's going to revamp that and make sure that it's constitutional. And I still haven't got that back, so I'm probably going to have to sit down and do it myself. But,
where the hell is Duvernay besides sitting there figuring out where he's going to retire to? Why can't he come up with something as simple as this when other cities have it? You can just plagiarize it.
The problem is every cities that I've looked at that could be plagiarized specifically list the homeless population as the reason for passing the law. And that's where I think they're going to have a constitutional challenge. So we just need to rework the language so that it applies to everybody.
Have the other cities had a constitutional challenge?
It'll come. I think it will. I mean, and that's my job to make sure, you know, that we get it right the first time and we don't spend a bunch of attorney's fees defending something that I think is a problem on the front end.
I think we can reword
it and make sure that
I think
it,
you're right. You can
everybody.
Just make it. And then, you know, and let's just face it, you enforce laws that you can enforce.
There is
a hierarchy of how many you can enforce.
We did do the adjustment, and, you know, you can't stand in the medians, and you don't see that quite as much anymore. We do stop them and cite them for that.
Okay.
That's an easy one because it does apply
that's
to everybody,
safety.
But it's a safety issue.
Right.
So when you start talking about limiting people's ability to stop and hand things out of their car, there comes into some of these freedom of expression, freedom of speech, freedom of movement type issues. So we have laws in place, and the reason we haven't done that, we have laws in place for impeding the flow of traffic now. So if you stop your car in the middle of the road and you impede traffic, there's already vehicle code sections that prohibit that. What it comes down to is, you know, you got to have the people to be able to enforce that. And so right now, we've actually cut our traffic division in half to keep up with filling patrol. So we're still kind of, you know, robbing Peter to pay Paul as we move people around the department.
Okay. Hey, our guest is Redding Police Chief Rob Pelletti. We're talking some of the things they're doing right now. Of course, the big night is tomorrow night at 7 p.m. down at the Civic Auditorium. He's going to give a clear picture of the crimes from 2014 and the studies they've been making about where do these transients come from and why are they here. And what can we do about that? Some possible solutions. This portion of the show is brought to you by Alliance Heating and Air, serving the North State for over 20 years. I tell you what, if you need work done on a heating or cooling system, you call Martin at 221-2642. If it's an emergency, he's there 7 days a week, 24 hours a day until it's fixed. If you're just trying to keep the systems going, if you're looking at new systems, this is the man to go to, Alliance Heating and Air. Check out their website, homecomfort.org.
And it's currently 47 degrees in the downtown studios. We're going to take a break here on KCNR 1460. Our guest is Chief Rob Pelletti. We'll be right back.
Our world needs caring professionals to make a positive impact in our communities. Simpson University's Master's in Counseling Psychology degree prepares you for a career in marriage and family therapy. Our award-winning faculty brings practical clinical expertise and research into the classroom. Attend classes in the evening and earn your degree in just 2 years. Apply before March 1st. Classes begin in August. Be empowered to make a difference. Call today at 1-888-9-SIMPSON or visit us online at simpsonu.edu.
Dandelion Gift and Apparel is a unique boutique in the very heart of downtown Reading. It's on Market Street, just down the block from Kobe Steakhouse. When you step into Dandelion, you have your own personal shopper. At Dandelion, they deliver that personal touch just to help you find the right item. Dandelion is open 10 to 5:30 weekdays and 10 to 5 on Saturday. So head downtown for stylish clothing, gifts, and accessories you just won't find at the mall. Dandelion. Yeah, that's it. Dandelion.
When you need prompt, dependable transportation, you can count on Reading Yellow Cab. At Reading Yellow Cab, we have a deep commitment to serve the public and provide dependable first-rate service. Whether you're heading out for a night in the town, need to get to work, or you're just running errands, relax and let Reading Yellow Cab do the driving for you. Reading Yellow Cab is your number one choice for reliable, friendly transportation with clean, comfortable cabs. Give us a call at 222-1234. That's 222-1234.
So, Brenda, guess what?
Oh, what now?
Boomer Tech Radio is changing a little bit again.
Oh, my gosh. Just like keeping up with technology. Can't keep up with Boomer Tech Radio.
Right now, every Saturday from noon until 2 o'clock, you can listen to Boomer Tech Radio for 2 hours back-to-back right here on KCNR 1460. And we are brought to you every week by
Advanced Automotive.
Safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community. So listen every Saturday for Boomer Tech Radio noon to 2 right here on KCNR 1460.
It'll help you keep up with technology.
Orchard Nutrition Center buys locally to not only support our North State growers and vendors, but buying locally also reduces the time from grower to market, which ensures that your family has the freshest, most nutritious products available.
My name is Pam Giacomini. I'm with Hat Creek Grown Beef up in Hat Creek. Orchard Nutrition Center has been showcasing our product for several years, and we are now their exclusive grass-fed beef producer. They're also cooking our deli rounds in their deli and produce their roast beef sandwiches out of it. Working with the crew here is just fantastic. We really appreciate their work with us and their embracement of local products and good local producers.
Hi, Richard Bloom. We manufacture the MSM Health Solutions products in Anderson, California. It's really good to see a local company like Orchard getting behind manufacturers locally and helping us to produce here locally to sell our products locally.
Orchard Nutrition Center, your friendly local Whole Foods store. Visit them at 221 Locust Street in Reading or on the web at orchardnutrition.com.
Ah, yes, this is the life. Sun, surf, sand, living on island time. It's good to take a break. Yeah, maybe someday, but right now, there's work to be done. And if you're a business owner, you know that presenting a professional appearance can make all the difference in the world. That goes double for your office. Usually it's the very first impression people get of your company. Join the dozens of North State businesses that have their commercial spaces professionally cleaned by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Since 1987, Maui Bob and his team have embraced the Aloha spirit, putting their clients first with an emphasis on customer satisfaction. And who knows, if your business is more successful because your offices reflect that attention to detail that professional office cleaning gives, maybe you will have more time for that island getaway. Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, on the web at MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
It's Carl and Linda Bott and Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 AM.
Tell you what, man. Welcome back to KCNR 1460. It's so nice to have you with us this morning, 819. Good morning, Chat Pack. And you know what? We are taking your calls this morning, too, if you've got questions for the Chief. We're going to have a big night tomorrow night, of course, where we're going to be doing...
The law in the law world.
Yeah. Chief is going to be talking in front of... we've got a great night happening at the Civic Center tomorrow night. But this portion of the show is brought to you by...
Owens Pharmacy. I'll tell you what, they've got MedSync there. Whether you have one prescription or many prescriptions, MedSync at Owens Pharmacy that they offer will sync all your prescriptions so they're due on one day. So you don't have to make multiple calls. You don't have to make multiple trips. Now, if you just signed up for MedSync and for some reason you can't be there, guess what? Owens delivers for free. Nothing better than that. Now, the big thing also is this. You have somebody watching your back, watching your six, as we say in the military. Because if you're getting, you know, for some reason that medication or that prescription doesn't kind of match what he knows or she knows has been going on in your life, they're there to check it. You know, they're there to make sure that you're getting the right prescriptions. All of this from Owens Pharmacy, locally owned, locally operated. There's no reason for anybody out there in our whole listening audience not to use Owens Pharmacy. Six locations here in town also, and open Monday through Friday, 9 to 6 on most of them. And you can't say enough about these guys. Our guest is Reading Police Chief Rob Paletti, and we're talking about the big we don't want to give away everything, but there is two things, though, that people, if nothing else, if you don't do anything else but come to this to see these two things.
Civic Center tomorrow night, what time?
7 p.m.
The doors open at 6:30. Okay. I'll start talking at 7. I've kind of paired the presentation down to kind of keep my portion under an hour, and that way there's time for question and answers, and we're not there – you know, for 4 hours because Rob doesn't be quiet because I do have a tendency to talk quite a bit. But the big part of the end of it is we're going to show you where they came from, where known camps are in Reading. We're going to show you why they came, and we're going to show you the truth about what these transient camps look like. And it's really there to educate the community and get their involvement in trying to help find solutions.
Okay, and like you said, there's going to be some things that you're going to display that's going to be eye openers.
I think so.
And
yeah,
you just everybody needs to go down there. I mean, we've talked about it, and I think that what you're going to hear and see tomorrow is going to be something that should give impetus. I hope the city council is sitting in there and listens to this.
They're all coming.
Board of Supervisors to this.
We've got 1,800 seats available in the Civic Auditorium, which hopefully we won't have to, you know, turn anybody away like we did at Sequoia. Now, you know, I keep hoping that we can keep having – I told the city manager, I hope he has to – budget for me once a quarter to rent the Civic Auditoriums because there's still that many people interested enough to come. We've seen, you know, the spike in you know, the first town hall meeting we did, and then it kind of fell off after that, and then we've got this renewed interest, and we need to keep the community involved in what's going on and keep their interest.
I think, Rob, what happened is that in that July one, it had huge interest, and people were just, you know, you could tell the frustration level, and then nothing. I mean, you started doing some things, but nothing beyond you was happening. And then we had the Safe City Project, another big uptick. And again, we come back and people running for office saying, "I'm going to fix crime." I mean, this is what they said. And then I have a plan. Well, and then we find out that, okay, now we're going to do a security study, which could take 6 to 8 months.
Well, I think if you look at what's in the
have a plan already, right?
Well, if you look at the strategic blueprint. And what we're trying to piece together, it's more than just the Reading Police Department. So the whole thing countywide with jail bed space, mental health facilities, everything else, that could take 8 months. But I really want to pare down the amount of time that it takes us. I at least want to be able to show, you know, the community, you know, what are the different levels of what the Reading Police Department could look like, from an absolute unrestricted view of what I think it should look like to, you know, what if we had this much of a budget, and pare that down so that – you know, the city council can look and say, okay, we want to get to, you know, plan A, which is a, you know, let's say $2.5 million, you know, increase to the budget by year two. And we want to get to this by year three, you know, and that way they can start doing that planning. When it comes to, you know, the rest of it, where it comes to actual succession planning and all of the other things that I want in there, because I want to revamp the whole thing from the redoing the mission and vision statement from the chief. So it's my mission and vision, not two chiefs ago, all the way through the succession planning. So we can, you know, talk about the development, leadership development and everything of our personnel. That's the stuff that, you know, that in piece may take out to that 8-month piece. But there are segments of it like, you know, what should the staffing level look like? What are the priorities of the police department? What are some some practices that we can bring in? That stuff can be done quite a bit faster, and we could actually start releasing those segment by segment to council so they can take action on those.
Great. So we need to do that. They could do that one right away, and that's what we're looking for. Now, you've started the push. You've started the push on the illegal camps.
Mm-hmm.
You've started putting people down to code enforcement.
Yes. So we've
started pushing them from spot to spot. Now we're starting to see them downtown.
Yes, and that's gonna happen, and then the enforcement picks up there. And you know, there's two things that can that are gonna happen. They're either gonna realize that they need to change their lives and they're gonna go seek the services that solve the condition of homelessness, or they're gonna leave. They have to choose to change their life. I can't make that decision for them, and that's where, you know, I think it's really important. And I told the Reading Merchants Crime Watch, and you know, I'll say it a little bit today, is, you know, it's kind of the a little bit of the push for tomorrow night, is that when it comes to some of the issues that are contributing to the homeless population or the transient population, and let me be clear that what my officers deal with is that transient population, not the homeless population that didn't choose that condition that goes for help. We're talking about that transient population.
Yeah, that's what we're talking. This subculture that a subculture that's grown underneath our nose because we haven't had the wherewithal to confront it.
So some of the stuff that we're going to talk about is stuff that we can't help too much. But there's other things that I think we as a community can change. And unfortunately, those things are outside the authority scope of the chief of police to change.
No, this comes from the city council.
Well, not even them. It's the community itself. And the community's voice that has to step up and make some of these changes. And,
well,
that's what I'm going to talk about.
How much stronger can the community voice be when people stand up and say, we need to take our streets back? That when Linda walks down downtown by where Maritime Grill used to be.
Right around the corner from Deju, but I'm actually join my girlfriend
and,
for coffee.
I mean, and having to step across
human
the people defecating.
Freshly
pooped.
The
people that are laying there on the sidewalk. I mean,
the sidewalk.
I think people have spoken.
No, they have, but they're speaking to you, they're speaking to me, but their voices aren't always heard. And that's I keep hearing about the silent majority that, quite frankly, needs to speak up.
But who do we talk to then?
So, well, and that's what I'm going to cover on Thursday night.
Oh, okay.
And,
okay,
you know,
great.
So, you
okay.
know, when you talk right. about, you know, some you know, private organization that may be contributing to the problem, I don't have the authority to make them change their policies, but a community's voice does. And that's really where we get to.
Okay. All right. No, you're right. No, the community does have to speak up, and the people have to listen. And, you know, the questions I ask have things to do with giveaways and stuff like that. I asked the city council, I said, at what point, I mean, when people come to this and they give away free food, I mean, isn't there things that we can do, like start making permit or at least pay fees for this?
Right. But at the same time, if that's your church and you go to that church and you see the problem that they're creating, isn't it time for you to speak up and say, hey, pastor, we need to knock it off?
Yes.
So that's that community voice that really has, you know, the real, you know, influence in the community, and those people that are frustrated with that are staying silent. Yeah, that's time to speak up.
And then okay, I'm a very visual person. So when you're talking about that, I went to the church, I went to the person, talking to the pastor, thinking that they're helping somebody who's a homeless family, and there's a homeless versus transient. How do you know that somebody's not really transient and pretending to be homeless?
Well, and that's where you get these panhandlers, and we've talked about them as well, where, you know, they pretend to be, you know, a poor downtrodden person. Then you see them finish and, you know, they're making $400 or $500 a day, and they go back and get in their nice car and drive away because they're just, it's just business. That's what they do for a job. They're deceitful. It's a challenge.
Okay, we're going to have to go to the phones, but I wanted to ask you one more question before we go to Terry. Well, let's go to Terry and then we'll come back. I have a question for you. Terry,
sure.
Good morning. You're on the air live with the chief of police.
Well, thank you very much. I was on hold and there was no sound, so I didn't realize that all of a sudden you were there. Hey, Rob, listen, I know you're working your butt off, and I know it's hard for you, and I know how frustrated you are. We had a good conversation the other day, and I hope you incorporate some of that conversation in what you're going to say tomorrow night. But you're right. I mean, the community has to step up. You drive down the road, even by the mission, and the people who work there are running across the street. We put a stoplight in there. There's an issue with folks that are walking around there that are maybe not really all there. I mean, this whole thing is very frustrating, and really the community in that vernacular does have to come back and help you guys.
Well, and I think that those that attend the town hall meeting, I'm going to give, 3 to 5 minutes where Jonathan's going to be able to, come to the microphone and talk about some of the changes that the Good News Rescue Mission is going to implement. And I think that's an encouraging start to see that they recognize, the frustration of the community and want to make sure that they're doing the right things to serve the community and not be, detrimental to it. And I think that was very positive, that when I went and met with the board, they actually listened and they're willing to start doing some of that. So, we'll give them their opportunity and we'll talk through these issues. It should be, like I said, I'm going to try to keep the meeting so that everyone can get out of there by about 9 o'clock. I'll talk fast and answer questions fast, but, I think it's going to be a good night.
Well, I think it's great what you're doing, pal, and I know the frustration that you go through and your officers go through. But again, the community really has to step up behind you, and they have to step up in a way that they will stop a lot of this stuff going on. The free sandwiches, the free this, the free that, the
free clothing,
it's insanity.
Free medical. All this
free medical.
Stuff.
And
you know what?
Here's the thing. We can't talk about solutions anymore. We just can't talk anymore, Rob. It's been 3 years. There is no more talking about this. I mean, something's going to happen. I was at the shopping center the other day, and I saw a lady who backed up, and I don't know whether she saw this guy weaving on his bicycle or not, but, I'm just saying that people are getting restless out there, and something really is going to have to be done before law-abiding citizens get to the point thinking that they're going to have to really control this themselves.
I agree, Terry. And, the guys are, we just removed 2,600 pounds from Linden Canyon yesterday, Bob Brennan did. There's over 200 bicycles down in there that charities give to these transients in Linden Canyon that, when Nick Bundy did his cleanup down in Linden Canyon of one property where the guy had him do it, he removed over 2,200 pounds of bicycles. So we're actually going to have a cadet out there, and we're going to write down serial numbers, and we're going to have a car, and they're going to run them all as stolen property, and we're going to see how much are actually stolen so we can be able to tell you, hey, look, we removed 2,700 bicycles I'm obviously just taking numbers. Say it's 500 bicycles we removed, and only 3 of them were stolen, which means the rest of them are all charitable donations. You go into these transient camps, you see piles of brand-new clothes that are donated that they don't even use. So, we're gonna try to open the community's eyes a little bit tomorrow night.
Okay, we got to take a break. Terry, thanks for the phone call, but you're absolutely right. It's time for the community to step up and start helping. We'll be right back after these messages. Carl and Linda Bott, KCNR, 1460.
1 out of 12, 1 out of 12, a 211 in progress. 1 out of 12, handle code 3.
Prepare for the coming summer with our winter special now through March at Sight for Sore Eyes on Cypress Avenue and save 50% on all sunglass frames. At Sight for Sore Eyes, we provide competitive prices and the personal service you can only get from a locally owned eye care professional. Right now, with your purchase of a complete pair of eyeglasses, we'll subtract $100, plus we'll give you a second pair of glasses absolutely free. This is a standalone offer not valid with any other offers, discounts, coupons, or insurance programs. Some restrictions apply. Please see our store for complete details. Sight for Sore Eyes has same-day service, precision-crafted lenses, and a large selection of stylish designer frames. Or if your budget is tight, we also have a large selection of budget-friendly frames. Fast, friendly service, reasonably priced eyewear, and veterans discounts are our specialty at Sight for Sore Eyes on Cypress Avenue next to Leslie's Pools. We accept all current doctor's prescriptions, all major credit cards, and we do your insurance paperwork. Sight for Sore Eyes. Call for an appointment today.
He said he loved his newly purchased travel trailer until he towed it. Now I hate it because it swayed and shimmied so badly it shook the truck. Don Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. Our inspection revealed the rear axle was tracking straight ahead, but the front axle was pointed 1/2 inch to the left. The axles were working against each other for direction of travel, a dangerous condition. We corrected the tracking so both axles worked together. When the owner came to get his trailer, we asked him to call us after he had towed the trailer. Customer satisfaction is important. He called later and said, "It felt like a different trailer. It's perfect. I love it again." Coachmaster is a complete body and paint shop featuring the largest frame machine in Northern California, utilizing laser beams and 3D imaging for accuracy. Computerized paint matching too, of course. Redding, California.
Hello, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. My wife Judy and I started Shasta Gas 17 years ago with the goal of providing safety, service, and savings to our neighbors here in Shasta County. We've been blessed with over 4,000 customers that have chosen us to be their propane supplier. Our motto is, our customers are warm friends. Speaking of warm, summer is gone and fall is here. Now is the time to consider your propane service for this upcoming winter and give us a call at 365-3793. The price difference could be significant between companies, but price should not be the only consideration. Safety is our first priority, so we perform safety checks when we set a new tank. If dealing with a locally owned, family-operated company is important to you, then please give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. Give us a call and let us call you one of our warm friends.
It's Carl and Linda Bott and Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460. What you gonna do when we come for you, bad boys, bad boys? Carl and the Bot, KCNR, 1460. It is 8:36 in the morning, 48 degrees out there. It's going to be a nice day. Weather's brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Our phone lines here are 605-4567. And this portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop right off Athens Avenue. Take a step back in time. Discounts for seniors and veterans. Man's last stronghold where you need to go to get your haircut. Let's go to the phones.
Dr. Danuka.
Good morning.
Hi, Linda.
Hi.
How are you?
Well, thanks, good.
Thanks for taking my call.
Oh,
absolutely. Well,
thank you for calling in. I know that you're, I bet, you know what, I could just see you right now.
So, Payush, we have the chief of police with us today. Do you have a question for our guest?
Yes. Chief, first of all, thank you very much for doing what you do and what the officers do. I really appreciate it a lot, especially your approach of being very tough on security and looking out for the community. I really appreciate that.
Thank you.
I want to relate to you the experience. I'm a gastroenterologist, and this area, we have been trying to recruit another physician for a few years, and finally we got someone. But what I want to relate to you is, in last 3-4 years, so many candidates we talked with were very happy to come to our practice and join us for practicing medicine here. However, 95% of them were reluctant to come to Redding because they hear a lot of bad things about Redding in the last few years. And I came to Redding with my wife 10 years ago almost, and it wasn't like that. So something has really gone wrong in the last few years, which has really turned people away from Redding. And that is a that's an indication of things getting worse in the community, a spiral downhill.
So I agree. And let me tell you some of the negative publicity that I, you know, I mean, we had the, you know, most dangerous place in the country for women, and we had, you know, our violent crime rate rose, you know, one of the highest percentages in the country. And I don't like those stories because they manipulate data. And
right.
You know, of course, we had a violent crime spike between 2007 and 2010. It's fallen back to what it was before, relatively, since then. And when you use percent increase like they like to do, it gives a false impression because those with lower crime rates to start with are obviously going to suffer with smaller increases than, you know, a place that had, you know, if you have one homicide and you go to two, you've got a 100% increase. If you had 100 homicides and you went to 105, you've got a very low percentage increase. Which community do you want to live in? I think the problem that we're seeing right now, and the reason that I'm focusing on this transient issue on Thursday night, is because there has always been a level of crime in Reading. The difference is it's becoming more and more visible. Part of that is probably my fault, because I have a very transparent viewpoint, and I'm very open in doing town hall meetings and talking about crime, and we press release everything, and we're now in the information age where people can, you know, get on their cell phones and talk about, you know, what's taking place all the time and see it and get bombarded with it on Facebook and Twitter and everything else that we're doing. So it is challenging, but when you have this population laying around the community, it makes people feel unsafe. And we have to be able to combat that, because I get probably weekly emails during the fishing season from fly fishermen that say, hey, you got a beautiful place and the fishing's great, but I ain't coming back unless you can clean up your riverbanks. So we have to be able to deal with this issue, and the community has to come together to deal with it, because there's certain portions of it, you know, that I just don't control. And that's what I'm going to point out tomorrow night. So I really encourage you, please come tomorrow night and see the presentation. I think it'll be a little eye-opening.
You're absolutely right. I strongly believe it's more of a perception problem than the actual crime problem, because I don't think our crime is much higher than so many other metropolitan areas in the country, smaller mid-size, of comparable size. However, we do have a perception problem, and you're absolutely right. The part of the perception problem is the visibility of it, and that's something I think community needs to step up. I absolutely agree with you, which is definitely the freebies is an issue. And one more thing I would like to add, which is the last thing, and Carl knows about that. I had written an article in a newspaper 2 months ago or so, which I mentioned that why can't the law-abiding citizens responsibly and in a trained way carry the guns openly, which will take the burden off your police force and will prevent a lot of these problems from happening in the first place. And, of course, I, again, emphasize responsibly, in a law-abiding fashion, and in a trained fashion. I know California doesn't go easy on that, but that's something which we need to reconsider in long term.
Well, I think that if we could just get the community to stop enabling, and, you know, when you give somebody a tent or a sleeping bag or a bicycle and a backpack, you're not, in my opinion, being compassionate to them. You're enabling them to continue to live in an unhealthy lifestyle. And that's one of the things that this community has to make the decision to change, because I just don't have the authority to force people not to do that. So that's some of the issues that we're going to discuss tomorrow night. I do have like I said, it's going to be at the Civic Auditorium. That's good, because everybody gets to come. If you know and you've seen me speak, I like the little more, you know, personal contact than being up on a stage with microphones down below. But, you know, if enough people come, we'll stay at the Civic and we'll keep making it the big venue event.
Thanks a lot for the call.
My best wishes. Thank you.
Thank you for the call, Doctor.
Thank you for calling.
You bet, Tanish. Okay, here's a good question. What can we, those who don't need to be educated, who know how bad it is, do to help? You know, you've already said we can speak up, but, I mean, what else? I mean, can we... You know what? The idea that you found 437 bicycles down there, you're going to find probably the largest percentage of them have been given away by groups of people. Do we have to go out and picket these places and say you are enablers?
Well, I mean, if you look at every charity in town that does these things, whether it's a church or whether it's one of the large organizations, they all have a board of directors. And we all know people on those boards of directors. And it's time to start expressing our concerns with how those people are doing business, so that they can, you know, if it's not that we want to close charities and we want to close the giving nature of this community, but we can do it in a way that doesn't enable and doesn't increase the population that's here and encourage people to come here.
How do we do that?
Well, it's a matter of this. Like I said, I can go to every place, and I've been going to several and talking to them as the chief. And I see, you know, blog comments about, you know, well, why is this the chief's business? Well, quite frankly, because nobody else is doing it. Believe me, I don't want to be the homeless chief, but it's the biggest number one issue that I hear when I go speak to this community, and it's my job and my officer's job to do something about that. And so we've done the homeless outreach program to try to take the softer approach. We've done the bike patrol, and we've taken the tougher approach. And it's time that we, you know, I do think everybody would be, they say they don't need to be educated, but I think if you saw, came and looked at the scope of the problem tomorrow, it will be, you know, enlightening. If you don't want to be educated, let me enlighten you. But I really encourage people to come tomorrow night. The problem is if I give all the data today, nobody shows up tomorrow night.
No, I don't want the data.
I was on.
Good questions though that people are
asking. Yeah, I was getting interviewed by the Record Searchlight yesterday about the town hall meeting, and he was getting very frustrated because he kept saying, "Well, what about what's this statistic, Chief?" And I said, "Well, show up tomorrow and find out."
Good for you.
Tomorrow night, I'll give you the whole presentation.
Good
but
for you.
We are not broadcasting.
We've already been asked several times. No, we are not broadcasting this. We want people to be there.
Yeah, please come. And there's 1,800 seats. I'm sure. I hope, you know. Hopefully, we fill them. If not, we'll downscale the venue again. But you know, I think that you know, a couple hours of your week to come and be part of the conversation, I think, is worth it for the community.
I think so too. And to find out what we can do, and I think probably the community, you know, through our leadership of our city council, if it's there, needs to get together and do this. Then, I mean, once they hear this, maybe perhaps the city council can come together and say, you know what, it's time for us to approach on a voluntary, method for these groups that are either church-based, faith-based, or just because they want to, are giving away free food, free bikes, free this, free that. Maybe it's time for them to go on hiatus here, you know, or take it through a certain agency so we're not enabling people to do this.
But here's on the other hand, you know, you have to get into the minds of, let's say, you know, you are with an organization that helps those in need. What do you say then at that point for the other side? No?
Yeah.
Well, my point is then let them come to you. If you want to feed the homeless in your church, then do it in your church. Don't do it in our public parks where after you drive away, they strewn their trash all over the place, where 50% of the parks workers' time is just spent picking up trash that these charities have come. And because if you watch them, when that van pulls away, those trans.
Now, let's talk specifically about this, too. We're talking about the van down at South Park, right?
Yeah. Those guys reach in, grab the sandwich.
Who is the organization that does that?
I don't know.
But here's
and throw the trash on the ground. Now you've actually had a negative effect on a public park that our good citizens need to use.
All right.
So that, you know, if you want to feed them lunch, feed them in your church.
Okay. So when we come back, I'd like to talk about addressing the issue of the people who hand out dollars to those people standing with their signs saying, I need help or I need food or whatever at a stop sign. Let's take a break when we come back. Chief, what do we do about that? Right. We'll be right back. KCNR 1460. Hang in there, folks.
Think it's so easy being a fish. They think we just swim around all day enjoying the scenery.
Yeah, they certainly don't know how hard it is to survive all the nasty stuff they toss down their storm drains.
You're telling me. Yesterday I had to swim my fin off just to try and dodge some motor oil.
I hear ya. This morning it was fertilizer. Nothing quite as fun as starting off the day trying to outswim the green monster.
What the fish are trying to say is not everyone understands that stormwater does not get treated. When it rains, the pollutants on our streets flow directly into our streams and rivers and can have adverse effects on plants, animals, drinking water, and yes, even fish. To learn more, call Reading Municipal Utilities at 224-6068. 224-6068.
Incoming! Not the car washing signs!
When it rains, it drains. Learn how you can protect our waterways and streams. Call 224-6068. 224-6068.
See you at the lake.
Not your average petroleum company, Northern Lights Energy.
Hello, Frank Muse with Northern Lights Energy. My wife Kathy and I are seeing a big drop in fuel costs. A lot of our customers are seeing the difference in their fuel bills. We have a lot of you picking up ethanol-free 93 for all the chainsaws, weed eaters, and lawnmowers, thanks to Al Saw Shop. Gary and Josh are the propane kings. They fill bottles like they're on a NASCAR circuit, no waiting. Johnny and Beth are still doing a lot of heater work, so call in and ask about the free estimate if you're thinking about trading up. Sherry is doing a bunch of pay-forward accounts, so give her a call, and that's working very well also. In Corning, see Robin. In Weaverville, talk to Joe. And in Reading, the rest of us. Northern Lights Energy, where real people still answer the phone. 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Not your average petroleum company, Northern Lights Energy.
At Mary's Pizza Shack, even the commercials are homemade.
By me.
And me.
And us.
Vincent and Luigi here at Mary's with some of our friends to tell everyone that Mary's Meal for Two is back.
Let's do this.
Get a medium two-topping pizza or spaghetti with two of Mary's legendary giant meatballs, plus super salad and a Pepsi for each person.
All for just $21.95.
Let's open it up for questions.
Can I have lots of Parmesan cheese?
Freshly grated Parmesan cheese.
Can I dip everything in ranch dressing?
Homemade ranch dressing.
Why are Mary's meatballs so big?
Because that's how they grow on the meatball tree.
The meatball tree?
The meatball tree?
I think that makes sense.
How tall is the meatball tree?
Original recipes, original shack, Mary's Pizza Shack. Complete menu available for dine-in, takeout, and delivery in downtown Reading and at the Shasta outlets on Highway 273.
How do you plant a meatball tree?
National news with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Good morning. Welcome back to KCNR 1460. Currently 49 degrees in the downtown studios. 8:50 in the morning. We're here with our chief of police, Rob Paletti, and welcome back to KCNR.
Chief, one of the things we talked about, and is you coming back on early next week to talk about the town hall meeting and what you couldn't tell us today. I mean, people are going to see it, you know, right, if they take the paper or they listen to the show, but not be quite so cryptic. Yeah, nothing. Yeah, but you coming back now on Monday and saying, hey, this is what we discovered during our process there. I think it's a real good way to kind of follow up on this, and it also allows people that we put this up in our archives, like for today's show, so they can listen to that and then listen to then this is what occurred and all that. I think it would be a good show, and I know that you're trying to make sure that happens with us. Linda had a good question about.
My question was, and we talked a little bit about it at the break, but, okay, so the other day we're on the way because we did the Simpson wedding show on Sunday, and I'm coming down, 299, and I see this guy when the people are coming off the freeway to get on Lake, this guy standing there, and two people who had pulled up to the stop sign rolled their windows down and gave him money. And he literally got off the median there, whatever you want to call that thing that you step on. The curb. Okay. And he got off the curb and he went up to the car and he said 1, 2 or something like that. Like he was approaching the windows and people rolled down their windows. So I saw it within the period of time I was at the stoplight, two people had stopped to give him money. Shouldn't the people who stopped to give them money be fined as well?
That's who gets fined. If it's in the city limits and you're impeding the flow of traffic, you can get a citation from the police for impeding the flow of traffic to stop if you're bunching people up behind you. There are different laws when it comes to coming off of a freeway and freeway on-ramps because of the safety factors. And if you see that, report that to the California Highway Patrol because you're not allowed to panhandle or hitchhike onto a freeway on-ramp, and CHP can go address that.
Okay. The downtown hotels.
Uh-huh.
We got a few, like 8 minutes here. I know you went after one when you first were here, and you said you had something like 300 and something calls you had to put in a year that you had to put a policeman down there. But something happened. Y'all went after them with code enforcement?
With code enforcement in the DA's office, and they got an abatement order. And they actually, about half of that hotel is still condemned and closed. The other half is still operating. So, you know, that actually, you know, I think made one of the other owners – kind of pay attention and clean up his other property. But we've still got several downtown that need to be addressed.
Okay.
And that is
Can you name them?
Well, I mean, if you just look at the Americana.
Okay.
You know, and if you look at the Market Street Manor, uh-huh. If you look at the Reading Inn.
Okay.
You know, they're substandard hotels that, in my opinion, are not – if you look at who stays in those hotels, it's the poorest in our community.
And it's transients, and they're taking long term. They're not supposed to do that. Now, can you – do the owners live in this area? Do you know?
Some do, some don't. That's also – you know, we've got the retired annuitant police officer and code enforcement officer on staff for 6 months. We decided to have their first priority be
the camps
along the river specifically.
Good.
And we've actually – they've already worked with the trust that now owns the property that's in foreclosure below View 202 in that Hempstead area.
Yeah.
And they got them to hire a contractor to clean that property up. So – you know, that's a good news story. We're starting to put pressure on an owner that has, I think it's about 20 or 30 acres up off of Oasis Road.
Mm-hmm.
That is, there are actually people in there diverting streams and gold mining in that property that are transient camps.
No.
And so,
wait a minute, they're gold mining?
That's what the guys are seeing up there in their residence. So, you know, there's a good citizen that lives, you know, right near that we've talked a couple times, and I've
gold
got
gold mining.
Yeah, I've got the code enforcement guys. The code enforcement and the police officer will be out in Linden Canyon, where we're doing a major cleanup this Sunday with the citizens from the Indian Hill subdivision, Nick Bundy, Joni Morrison. So, you know, we're making – see, Carl's coughing, so I'm going to start coughing.
We're all coughing.
So, you know, we're making some progress on that. But the downtown hotels themselves are in the code enforcement violations and – you know, others like the Hilltop Lodge on Hilltop Drive that are creating problems for the surrounding community. Those are going to be some of those next targets.
I want to learn how to be a code enforcement person and work part-time. I want to do that. And then I can go down and help, and I'll charge $1 a year if that would help. You know, I mean, give me a checklist.
Well, and that's some of the things.
Give me a checklist.
That's some of the things that we're, you know, we're looking at right now with volunteerism and other strategies that we can incorporate to kind of increase the reach of the Reading Police Department and the city itself. But, yes, those hotels are on the radar.
Put me in, Coach. You know what? Here's the thing is, unfortunately, so many people like to volunteer. I mean, I've got people here on the show I know would volunteer in the chat room. But you need to be trained. And see, that doesn't help. And it needs money. But even if they would do it for free or $1 a year, they still need to be trained in these things. Because there's people out there that would do that to help our community. Now, the things that we see, the people on the streets, that is so visible. Where's that in our priorities?
Well, like we always, you know, like I've talked about before at town hall meetings, we fight two things. And that's actual crime and the fear of crime. And the transient population increases that fear of crime. Justified or not. I mean, let's face it.
Yeah.
Not every homeless person commits crime, and
no.
Then a criminal is homeless.
No.
You know, but – and watch, when I say that tomorrow night, I'll probably get it backwards. But the fact of the matter is that no matter what it is, justified or not, if it makes people feel unsafe, that damages their quality of life, and we need to be able to address those things. So I think, you know, by my presentation, you'll see tomorrow, I think that – you'll realize that the transient population and trying to find solutions and address this is a big priority for the police department. It's a big priority for code enforcement because it's a big priority that we hear from the citizens.
Okay. All right.
Well, we're looking forward to tomorrow night. Again, it's at the Civic Center. Doors open at 6:30. Rob will start speaking at 7. And you have a couple guys that are going to be there that
mm-hmm.
actually were –
I'll have,
was that a surprise that we have?
No, not at all. Mike Thomas, who's he's actually a retired sergeant that's the annuitant that's back working code enforcement, will be there. And one of the guys that's been actually out doing the bike patrol and collecting the data for the survey will be there. So, you know, if you don't want to hear it from the chief, you can get it straight from the horse's mouth.
Okay. Well, there's a lot of things we as a community can do besides just bitch about it. And part of that is, I guess we can go complain to the people that's giving it away. And here's the other thing is, I would like to see a list of those agencies that give away stuff like this. I mean, do you have a list of those?
I have a very short list, but we've been compiling the bigger list because I get asked that at community groups all the time, and I want to be able to say,
here's who gives away free stuff.
But you can also go on websites. And they show you where to get free stuff.
Really? What's that website?
If you just go Google, where to get homeless, where to get free stuff in Reading, and there's website
free
after website.
Free stuff in Reading.
Yep. Okay, well, we had a listener, one of our Chat Pack guys, say that he was standing in front of the Squire Room not too long ago, and a woman and her four children got off. They just literally had gotten off in her husband or whatever.
Got off the Greyhound
bus and said that they were here from another state, and they're stopping in Reading because they heard that there were free services.
Yep.
And where's the Good News Rescue Mission?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know if
That's what it said. Okay. Chief, thanks a lot. It's going to be a big night tomorrow night. We're going to push this for people to get down there tomorrow and listen to what's happening. I understand that the mayor is going to be there to be able to answer questions. Did I hear that or not?
No, it's just going to be me.
Okay.
Because the problem is that when council starts asking questions or council starts doing address, then you start to involve the Brown Act. And
yeah.
I don't want my town hall meetings
hijacked
to become special city council meetings.
Right.
They're not
Let
about
them have their own.
They're not about the city council. They're about me talking to my citizens.
Right. Okay.
Thank you, Rob.
Chief Rob Paletti. And again, thanks for what you do for our community, Rob.
I appreciate that. Thanks.
And a lot of different things.
Now, tomorrow on the air,
we have a lot of great things.
We have a lot of great
We have a lot of great things happening. We always have great things happening. But there'll even be more.
Tomorrow
great
night on
happening.
The spot with Linda Bott. So.
Yeah. Oh, tomorrow Trish Clark comes in and she and I are going to beat it up.
Yeah,
remember,
you are.
It's the good guys against the bad guys. What are you?
The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. President Obama makes it official. He is now formally asking Congress for a green light to send the U.S. military after ISIS. The president saying that ISIS poses a threat not only in the Mideast, but also a threat to U.S. national security. House Speaker John Boehner says there will be no rubber stamp approval of the president's request.
The delivery of this authorization is the beginning of a legislative process that will involve hearings, markups, and I'm sure changes.
Mr. Obama is proposing a 3-year time limit on the mission and no enduring ground offensive by U.S. troops. Later in the day, the House expected to pass a bill authorizing construction of the long-delayed Keystone XL pipeline. Texas Republican Pete Sessions supports Keystone.
That would create thousands of jobs, increase our energy security, and inject billions of dollars into the American economy.
New Jersey Democrat Frank